The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me a very loud amen.
Amen.
I'm very happy to see you this afternoon. It's evening. Welcome to How to Change Your Life. For those who are already used to our ministry, you are very welcome to Kingdom Word Ministries again. But for those who are new, normally we don't waste much time for any other activity. We just go straight to the Word of God. That's why if you are planning tomorrow to come late, maybe you come like 1 hour late, you will arrive and we have already gone home. So please, if you invited somebody, I want to just beg you to call the person and tell the person that, well, you're already late for today, that is immediately after now. Oh, by the way, please, if your phone is on, can you kindly put it off, or if you are onto flight mode? If that's where your Bible is, there's nothing wrong with it. Some people say that, no, the Bible says, say the scriptures, not punch the scriptures. You can, in fact, it's easier to say the scriptures on a device. I hope you understand that. Yes. So I don't mind. No matter how small your screen is, all right? I only recommend that if the screen is less than 3 inches, go and get a bigger screen, all right, to make it easier for yourself. But if you're using your mobile device for your Bible, please be careful that it's on flight mode. If you're not using it, please kindly put it off, all right? Okay, now the idea is so that we don't disturb ourselves. Sometimes I wonder how we survived before phones came around, mobile phones. We still survived. So I think you can survive the next... You see, I'm expecting a very, very important phone call. I must take it. That may happen, right? For that reason, please go and stay outside, all right? Just wait at the door. After your important phone call, then you can come back inside. And God will really, really bless you for doing that. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
All right. Like I said earlier, welcome to this time of refreshing. We are talking about how to change your life. Please tell them to your neighbor, tell the person, your life may need changing, but it definitely needs improving. That's a matter of fact. Say it again to somebody else, your life may need changing,
but it definitely needs improving.
So, all right, the Lord is good. Whichever one applies to you, this is what we are doing. You can change your life either into a totally new direction or just to make it better than it was before. And I can assure you, if you pay attention for the next few hours total that we'll spend over the next 3 days, your life will definitely be improved. I went to preach the other day in Asaba. And a young lady that was there, very a teenager, you understand? The mother was telling me a few days ago that the young lady explained how after that session, she was so tremendously blessed, and now she has confidence to face the future. I did not even know she had the ability to worry about the future until I heard that testimony. Do you understand my point? Sorry, it would be wrong of me not to welcome our very special guest all the way from Owerri. It will be... Please, I can just stand up and wave your hands. That's Engineer Chukwocha. He's our very good friend. He's a godfather to our dear brother, Kingsin, there. He came all the way from Owerri just to come and attend this seminar. Uh-huh. See? So you should clap once again. In fact, let me just enjoy myself. Let me relax. All right? Because I feel like telling a few stories. You know, he did something the other day. You know, we went to go and preach in Owerri. So he called and asked whether I will come to Owerri or they should come to Enugu. Did you hear that? So I'm like, no, I don't understand. He said, he and the leaders, all right, in the church, they want to learn from me, you understand? He had listened to our messages. So he said, I should choose one. Either I will come to Owerri or they will charter buses, hire, you know, hotels and guest houses in Enugu and come to Enugu. And I said, Olayinka, no. At least even ordinary economics will tell us that it is better. If we calculate the costs, as I mean that we all understand that we are all children of God. We are serving the same Father. So any money they spend is me that has spent the money also. So when we put everything together, I said, no, it is cheaper for the body of Christ for me to drive down. So, of course, everybody camped in his place. We all stayed there together and we're there for a few days learning the Word of God. He's a tremendous man of God who loves the Word of God. Let's put our hands together for him. All right, you are welcome, sir. You are welcome. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Okay, so I was saying that you will definitely be blessed this weekend. If you believe that, shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
How do I know that's my job? That's what I was born to do. One day God saw a man walking on the road, and he said, come, I'll find you a wife. So he found my father and my mother. I said, you know, I want two of you to marry each other. They were not hearing, but they were just obeying. So because I wanted to give birth to a son who will go to Enugu one day. And from there, he'll begin to spread the word of God to the whole world. And anybody who pays attention to him will be blessed, will be transformed, and will be conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm telling you assuredly that for taking the time out to come this evening and for coming again and again, you will most certainly be blessed. Your life will be touched. Your life will be transformed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, so let's get into business right away. If you have your Bible, shout it loud, amen.
Amen.
Whether it's paper Bible, phone Bible, tab Bible, computer Bible, if you have it, give me an amen.
Amen.
If you don't have it, share with your neighbor beside you. All right. Now, we're talking about how to change your life, and as I was meditating, one thing dropped in my mind, and I believe it was the Spirit of God, and that's the only topic I have to start with. Those who know me very well are going to laugh when they hear the topic we're starting with today. And it's titled, How Curses Work. Laugh now. I mean, I knew you were going to laugh. Yes, it sounds very funny now. In fact, my wife is like, what are you talking about? Yeah, it's how curses work. I want to just explain it. How curses work. All right? You say, why are you choosing that topic? Because all the time I prayed for days on this matter. That is the only thing that stayed in my mind. And that is how I operate. All right? I won't force myself to say anything. And that's the one that has been in my mind. And I have a very good understanding there. But I believe that the Holy Spirit will also bring things further to our minds than I think I know already. All right? So as to address the issues in the lives of different people. Now, I believe it's very important for us to understand that at this season, especially because Africans, all right, at least the Nigerian aspect of Africans that I know, and it's not only Nigerians. I've seen people broadcasting materials from East Africa or Southern Africa, and they all have the same problems. I've been to Ghana. You hear Ghanaians talk. It is the same issue. So I believe it's an African issue. There is a way Africans reason. There is a way Africans reason. And you will see as I go on, I will explain it. The way you reason actually affects the way things happen in your life. Your thought processes, your mindset determine what comes to you in life. And it's so crucial you address how you reason. Sometimes you're talking to people, you wonder, how does this person plan to make it in life? You have a mindset that will never work. You understand? For example, you see, there's something that's very common amongst us, all right? You find that if I go to a place to apply for a job, I'm not given. Instantly, I start saying it is because the MD is from here. I am from there. Are you getting my point? You know, we start reasoning like that. I heard a quotation from the mouth of, that was something that they said Napoleon said, and it was so striking. He said, never ascribe to conspiracy what can be explained by inefficiency. Do you understand my point? And they say, it's because they don't like me. Before you say they don't like you, make sure you are better than everybody else. I saw a man when he came for an interview, all right? And he was so sure, no, that this one is in the bag. He's going to do well. So I went and met, it was the place where I was working. So I was just talking to my chiefs there. I said, that guy's my friend. So they thought I was asking a favor for him. So I said, no, I'm just informing you that I know him from somewhere. I said, how is he doing? Because it was a written thing. My chief just said, nonsense. He doesn't know anything. I said, what? This guy I was just talking to outside, who was saying that, no, I made a good show of myself in that interview. I'm so sure. My chief said, he doesn't know anything. And she gave me his script to look at. I read through it. I was ashamed that I confessed openly that I knew him. Do you understand my point? I was ashamed. You mean I confessed openly that I know this fellow? Of course, I'm sure they was not. They didn't admit him. Right? He was not given the job. And he will go. He will leave that place, and he will assume every other thing apart from the fact that he was incompetent. And such a mindset never does well in life. One of the things you will learn as I'm going on this session, I want to explain to people. All right, never assume. Because I'm talking to Christians. All right. If you're not a Christian, please, during the course of these teachings, make sure you give your life to Christ. Because what I'm saying does not apply to you at all. It doesn't apply. If you're not a Christian, it does not apply. There are general principles. You can pick some things from here and there. But the main thing I'm talking about doesn't apply to you. First, I was about to make a statement, okay? And so let me make the statement. For Christians, people don't like you makes no meaning. It has no meaning. Listen, your life is going to change as you begin to rearrange the way you think. People don't like you makes no meaning.
Of course, most of you here know me enough. My full name, they call me Banky, but it's short for Bankole. And my surname, which is printed boldly all over the flyers we have, is Olushino, which tells you simply, my father's name is not Chukwucha. You understand my point? So I am not from Eastern Nigeria. That's what I'm going to explain. All right? Naturally speaking. So when I said I was going to come to Enugu, people say, eh? You know you are from the West, though. You know the way Nigeria is. I was just looking at them. And but one scripture kept on coming up in my mind again and again. I said, but Joseph was not an Egyptian. That's the mindset. Do you understand my point? That's it. So I said, no, forget that one. If God's favor is with me, I'm okay. I will be blessed anywhere I go. I've lived in Enugu now for the last 15 years more. All right? No, okay, 14 years. I came here 2000. Believe me, I have only been blessed. That's a matter of fact. I have only been blessed. I have had occasions, you know, times, opportunities for me to join the rest of Nigerians. You know what I mean by rest of Nigerians? Let me explain what I mean. I saw one of my former students the other day. She graduated. She's waiting for to go and do her house job. I teach medical students, for those of you who don't know. All right? I said, oh, how are you doing? She said, I'm fine. I said, why are you applying? She said, ah, I was thinking of applying to Ogun State, but you know now. I said, what do I know? What do I know? Ah, you know I'm not from there. They will not take me. I said, have you ever been to Ogun State? No. Have you ever interacted with an Ogun man? No. She has absolutely no experience with Ogun people. Yet, she sat in Enugu here and made up her mind that being from Enugu State was a disadvantage in going to Ogun State to go and look for a place to do internship. Can you imagine? Of course, you know me. Because somebody I knew, I stood there for the next 10 minutes and gave her a very good lecture on life. I said, this is how you sit down and close doors for yourself. One of our brothers the other day, he finished, also a medical doctor. He finished his school, was looking for where he would do house job. He made up his mind that in that university where he trained, he knew nobody, that is in the teaching hospital, that didn't know anybody. For that reason, he did not bother to apply for the job. He said he knew people in Ilorin, so he traveled all the way to Ilorin to go and apply. Unfortunately for him, you know when God loves you, he will frustrate your stupid thinking so as to wake you up to reality so that you will know how to handle things in life. He got to Ilorin, they did not take him. Maybe there was a quarrel, okay, don't take anybody now, or sorry, we don't have space, will you come back when we have space? One long story. Then the place he refused to apply. Those ones said, how many applications do we have? I can't remember the exact figures, but I'll just give you something to explain the point. How many applications do we have? They said 50. How many do we need? 60. Okay, take everybody first. did you hear what I said? That is, those ones appointed everybody. They took everybody that bothered to apply because the total number of applications were fewer than the total number of spaces. So my dear brother who did not know anybody would have, do you know, he would have just entered easily. He finally came to Enugu, which was good for him because when he came to Enugu, he interacted, he was with us in Kingdom World Ministries, we were learning, you understand? And he told me he learned a lesson. From that time, he doesn't care anymore. If he wants to go to Harvard, he will put the application first. You can decide later that you don't want me. But let it not be that I'm the one that refused to put it in. That's what I'm explaining when I say that your mindset affects how things come to you in life. This Ben Carson, that of course I've read many of his books that we all know these days, all right, he's a retired neurosurgeon now, okay, and is currently, unless he changes his mind, he's already planning to run for the American presidential election under the Republican Party. Okay, we don't know how far he will go with it, but this is the point. He has become that well known, that influential, for him to be able to think about running for president in America. When he finished his training, because if you know the way medicine is, when you finish your postgraduate training, wherever you work, the postgraduate training is a temporary appointment. So when you see somebody is a resident doctor, the employment is temporary. That is, once you finish your training and you qualify, they sack you, you know, technically. The job has ended. So you have to look for another job where they will employ you this time around as a specialist. He said, he's a black man. This guy is fully black, completely black. He said the blacks came to him and said, look, you're a very intelligent young man. Come and see what you can do for your people. So they wanted him to come over to the black hospital, you know, to come and work there. He said, you want to go to that place? You want to stay in Johns Hopkins? That, you know it the way it is. It's a white institution. Nothing is going to work for you there. You know you're a black man. You don't have any future there. They won't even employ you. You know, in fact, why are you even bothering? They won't employ you. Except that the young man was taught by a mother who explained to him that don't worry about other people. Just worry about yourself. You get my point? That if anybody discriminates against you, feel sorry for him. It's ignorance that's worrying him. He has that mindset. So, of course, he went there and applied. Of course, to the disappointment of everybody that prophesied negatively, every single member of the board voted to appoint this young black man as the new chief of pediatric neurosurgery. All those who voted for him were white. There was no black man on the board. Because the man who trained him beat his chest and said, this boy is good. And everybody said, well, if this man says this guy is good, with all the high standards he has, all his high standards, then he must be good. So if he had had the mindset that I'm a black man, you know, these people are white people, you know what happened? He wouldn't have bothered. And you know, many people, that's how their futures get erased. You don't hear about them again. That's what happens to a lot of people. In this particular case, we are telling his story now because we know about him. While he was working there, in fact, I like this part of the story. They asked him, "What do you? How do white people? How did white people used to treat you when you first started working?" Because then nobody knew him. He said, "A lot of times they say, okay, you are seeing Dr. Carson." So the white person is expecting a white doctor. So he walks in, okay, they are waiting. He walks in and says, "Good afternoon, I'm Dr. Carson." You see the shock in their faces. All right? So how do they react after that? He said they always come to a conclusion. This guy must be good. That is, for a black man to be in this position, he must be good. So they always used to relax. That, wow, this guy must be so good that they committed us into his hands. He said, but when the black people come, they'll be looking at him with suspicion. Are they trying to deceive us? You're getting what I'm explaining? And of course, working in that place, we are talking about him now. He doesn't know my name. He probably doesn't know anybody inside this hall. But we are talking about him. Why? He did not allow that negative mindset. I hear it every day. Every day. Any, you know, every time something happens, somebody must explain this. It is because I have a colleague like that. I tell him, look, your mindset has a problem. I tell him straight to his face. Pastor Park is doing a seminar in Sunshine Guest House. He will look for the owner of Sunshine Guest House. How is connected to my wife? Who is connected to somebody? Peradventure, maybe the great grandfather were born in the same village. And I said, don't you know his wife? His wife is from so-and-so place. The grandfather of his wife and the grandfather of the proprietor were in the same village. He said, but they don't bear the same name. He said, no. The one gave birth to a woman, that one married a man. You know, they will tell the story. I say, of all the things you can think of in this life, you didn't even consider that maybe I had money to pay. And this mind says, don't let us make progress. Listen, for Christians, your ancestry means nothing. Natural ancestry, it means nothing. It is not the reason why you are not making progress. Let me even say this. You did not do well when you were in school. Actually, means nothing. It's not the reason why you're not making progress. The problem is the attitude that those experiences have formed in your mind. So that when doors open, many people just, they close the doors against themselves. They say, no, it is not for me. It is not for people like me. When you hear people talk sometimes, you just shake your head. Why didn't you apply for this job? I checked, I didn't know anybody. I didn't say, why didn't they employ you? Why didn't you apply? They don't even put in the effort. And listen, I'm telling you, this is the principle of life. Many people, doors have closed for them because they have a wrong mindset. That wrong mindset is attracting negative things towards them and repelling good away from them. Let me tell you the truth. God has thrown down a challenge for all of us here now. That is, he's saying to you, stop telling stories. I will not accept excuses. If you will work on yourself, work on your mindset, that's where it starts from. Work on the way you reason. I feel sorry for many Nigerians running to America. You know why? Beggars are beggars anywhere. Well, you know, just talk to the person. You hear the beggar's mentality. You know, this guy will get to America, he will be a beggar still. God is saying to you, change your mindset. And you will discover that wherever you are, good will come to you. Are you getting my point? It is what is inside your heart that radiates around you as a force. Listen, it actually affects your face. It affects your face. It affects your face. It affects your face. What I'm telling you, you may look at somebody, say, oh, this fellow looks very attractive, maybe a man or a woman. The main thing, forget, listen, all the powder, pancake, all those ones, they work for 24 hours. You know they call pancake? All the powder they rub on face, no matter how you cut your hair, no matter how you dress up, it works for 24 hours. After that, what works is something else people don't know how to explain. I was talking the other day too with my wife about one of our friends. You know? I said, that guy, anywhere he walks into, he commands respect. You don't need to know him. He's a pastor. Listen, I'm not joking. If Aliko Dangote sees him, I'm sure he'll bring out two hands to shake him. Because his presence, not in the never talk, just his presence, he commands respect. We have a friend, one of our friends, I used to tell my wife, we pray for the man. I said, this guy, Father God, in Jesus' name, he must be rich in this life. Do you understand? I'm not joking. We used to pray for him. Why? Because his attitude towards life. Those days, he will carry us to Nike Lake. Nike Lake, not now. No, now I can walk. No, me too, I have grown, amen? Thank God for my life. I'm talking about more than 10 years ago. You have walked to Nike Lake. And you can, whatever I look like now, subtract 10 years from my age. And here now, you know, about the same age, you know, that kind of thing. You walk into Nike Lake, just call. Hey, Francis, come. You'll be looking at him. Look, do you feel like a millionaire or what? How are you calling these people like this? He said, man, come, let's go and swim. Let's go and swim. Go and swim in Nike Lake. Don't you respect yourself? You know, that kind of thing. And that's how when he finishes, okay, get me a bottle of, what do they call this thing? Chapman, what did they used to serve it? That big glass, a glass of Chapman. And then whatever the amount, you can drop double that amount and tell the guy who brought it to take the change. I'll go myself, maybe let's pray. This guy must be rich. That we are the ones praying for him, that he must be rich. Why? Because of his attitude. And listen, life, we have no choice, especially with the kind of prayer people like us are praying for him. Life will have no choice but to respond to him positively. Because he doesn't see life and he's shaking like this. Life, hey, please now, give me something. He stands and says, life, come, bring something here. That's it. I'm talking to Christians. I'm not saying you should have a big head when there's nothing inside you. Did you get my point? I'm saying Christians, there's a lot inside you. That's what I'm saying. That God has packed his spirit, his excellence inside you. You cannot allow a negative attitude towards life cripple you. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes you hear young people talk, you just have an attitude. And I keep on saying this thing. If you're going to look for work, if you come to my office to look for work, and you make it look like, sir, if you don't give me this job, my father's bills will not be paid. I will not give you the job. Sir, you know, my father is very sick, and my mother is not working currently. So that's why I need the job. This is not Red Cross. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It's not Red Cross. I am inviting you to come and make money for me. If I pay you 50 naira, I expect to have pocketed 150, 200 in the process. You are coming here to tell me about your family problems. You know what I'm going to do? If I was a boss in a company like that and you come for interview, I will ask you, your father's last bill, how much is it? You tell me, sir, 25,000, sir. I will give you a check for 25,000. I tell you, greet your father, but I will not give you a job. You've come in with a beggar's attitude. I will not give you a job. Because I'm already seeing things. You won't come to work, you have stories to tell me. I give you a target, you not meet it, you have stories to tell me. And you will expect me to understand that your family has problems. So you know what I will do? I will do the Christian thing. I will write a check for you. Take. Greet your father for me. You will leave the place and say, man, that man is a kind man. You won't understand that I have left you to go, you understand, and solve your problem somewhere else. But I walk into a place you have, for an interview. I'm asking the man, you know, this is a winner's attitude. Your questions are like, okay, how can I help you improve? Oh, this one, I can do this now. No, okay, you give me this kind of job, forget it, don't have to supervise. Do you understand my point? You come with this winner's attitude that, look, you employ me, I will help you. You employ me, your problems will go away. You employ me, you become richer. Listen, they will employ you fast. Even though your father is very rich and you don't have any family problems, who wants to, look, listen, who's begging for more problems anyway? What am I trying to explain? You see, the attitude is different. And that is how life will respond to you. That's what I'm explaining to Christians. So when I talk about how to change your life, actually, what I was saying is how to change your attitude first. How to change your heart. How to change your thinking processes. How to change the way your mind interacts with the environment. How to change, you know, the way I reason about life. Once you change that, your life changes. Once you change that, your life changes. Let me just drop this one again before I get back into the thing I want to say. I talk about my message for today is supposed to be how curses work. All right? And that, I want to just explain that. Because I know once I explain it, people will be liberated. They will be liberated once they know the truth. They say, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You'll become free entirely. All right? Listen, in life, you must always have an attitude of a giver. I wanted to just say that before I go into the main message. And I'm not talking about just money alone. In everything you do, you must have a giving attitude towards life. Once you have the opposite attitude, you won't do very well in this life. That's what I want you to understand. You know, for election is coming up now. For those of us who pray for our state, those of us from Enugu State, we are praying for Enugu State. Yes, I live here, so this is my state, all right? Amongst the prayers we have prayed, anybody who's coming to office to say, time to go and collect our portion, we have prayed. I like to say this openly so you go and tell people. And there's one pastor somewhere praying against those of us that want to go into political office for what we are going to get. Anybody coming into this is what I'm going to get out of it, we have prayed that you won't do well. You won't win. If you win, something bad will happen to you. You won't enter that office. If you enter that office, they will impeach you after the second day. One way or the other, you won't stay there. Because we oppose the attitude that wants to get, grab. But we are in support, because it's the right thing, of the spirit, the attitude that wants to pour something positive into life. And that's what I'm telling you. Just make sure you have that in your mind. You want to marry somebody, you say, this guy will be able to do this for me. That's a very wrong attitude. This girl will be, you know that many people, men, I feel sorry for them. That's why you won't get a good wife. I'm telling you. Why? Anytime I come home, there's no food. Go and hire a maid. Do you understand my point? Hire a cook. You can't go and be looking for a wife because anytime you come home, there's no food. You can't be, look, listen, you must never be self-centered in this life. Do you get my point? Yeah, no, I keep on telling, no. Let me pause. If I start that marriage matter, you know, this turns to a marriage seminar. Let me stop. You know, I'm experienced enough. You know, the one you start like this, antenna will just go up. Boom. Let me stop. I just got myself there. Let me stop. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Yeah, very important. Let me stop. Because, once you get to that point, even those who are dozing before suddenly wake up, I say, Pastor, I'm not sleeping again. Start again. So let me stop, all right? My time is running. All I've been doing so far is just to give us an introduction, all right, into what this whole thing is about, how to change your life. It's as inside changes that outside begins to respond, all right? Now, there are many scriptures I have here. Which one do we start with? Okay, let me just read this one. I don't know. It looks very funny, but we have to read something, Abby, because the Bible. Let's start from 1 Kings chapter 2. I want to explain a principle here. 1 Kings chapter 2. We are talking about how to change your life. I'm explaining again that life responds to the state of our hearts. And the first thing I want to explain so as to liberate people completely is this matter of curses. Because it's very strong in the minds of Africans. Actually, why I digress into that introduction that I took time on is because I was going to explain something that we see when you have a wrong attitude or a wrong thought pattern in your mind concerning what curses are. Times that you could have done something to change your life, you won't, because you think that something else is the cause of it. I told a story about one of my colleagues, very funny story. He was traveling once, was going to Abakaliki, so he decided that, well, he didn't feel like driving, so he took a taxi. He told the taxi man, take me to Abakaliki. So he wasn't alone in his vehicle, in the taxi. Sat at the back and fell asleep, which is right. You should fall asleep when you paid money. You understand my point? So he wasn't the one driving. Only for him to wake up at a particular point in time. What woke him up? The car had gone off the road. And the car was jumping up and down, running into different things. They were in the bush now. And of course, that woke him up. And next thing he knew was that they were facing a big tree and the car was about to crash into the tree. But good enough, the good Lord made sure that happened in a part of the terrain that was soft. So the car sank just before it hit the tree. The tire sank into the soil. And of course, by that time, the driver woke up too. By that time, the driver had woken up, you understand? Because that was the cause of the problem. The driver too fell asleep. By the time the driver woke up, and when the car came to a halt, the driver jumped out of the car and shouted, "Who is doing this to me? Who is doing this to me?" That is the typical African mentality. All my problems are caused by somebody. It is not me, it is them. I like that quote from Napoleon I quoted earlier. That Napoleon said, never ascribe to inefficiency, conspiracy, what can be explained by inefficiency. The man was trying to make money, so he used to drive at every opportunity. Morning, afternoon, and night he's driving. So he's always tired. Why he shouted, "Who's doing this to me?" was because that was the second time in the last few weeks, if not 1 week, that was happening to him. That he was falling asleep while driving. It did not cross his mind that it is to sleep some more. It is, let me go and find out who is doing this to me. And I want to say to you, it is a very wrong mindset. That's what this whole teaching is about. To let you know that nobody is doing anything to you. And like I said, I'm talking to Christians. Nobody can do anything to you. Did you hear what I said? Nobody can. Please turn to your neighbor. Tell the person, nobody can do anything to you. That if indeed you are a believer, nobody can do anything to you. Yeah, we have to understand that, all right? Now, remember, how curses work. Let's look at it. 1 Kings chapter 2. I am going to just read one or two verses just to read something, all right? And then I'll tell the story that led to that. We are going to read from verse 26. Now, before we read it, let me just give us the background story. You remember that Solomon became king, and his father chose him, though he was the youngest of his sons at that time. All these David's sons that we knew, Solomon was the youngest. The older ones, either they had died, or at that point in time, Adonijah had tried to claim the throne for himself, but was not successful. He wasn't successful. And he now did a small arrangement. If you read we won't discuss that in detail because it will take us a lot of time. If you look at it, you will notice, you will wonder what actually happened in that Adonijah said they should get him a wife that David left behind. The young lady that they gave to David. All right? A young lady. And And he went and sent through Bathsheba, that's Solomon's mother. And of course, by the time Solomon's mother went, of course, talked to Solomon, said, give your brother this young lady. And of course, Solomon was very angry. And Solomon ordered everybody involved in that, in that arrangement executed, apart from the man we're about to read about. Now, before, I used to wonder, why was Solomon so hot-tempered? Do you understand? Why was Solomon so hot-tempered? It was later on, last year, that something struck me, that Solomon was very wise. How many of you ever saw this film, Godfather? Now, if you haven't seen it, don't go and watch it, all right? Just that for those who have seen the film, Godfather. You remember when Don Corleone died, before he died, he told his son, what's the name of his son that took over from him? Is it Mike? Mike, yes, he told Mike. He told Mike that when he dies, that the person who will come to make an arrangement for him to meet the other heads of the families, that guy is a conspirator, that Mike should watch out for the person. And Don Corleone did not know who to be. And of course, when Don Corleone died, they buried him. The day of the funeral, one guy just walked up to him and said, look, all the other heads of the families have decided that they need to talk to him. So he's trying to set up an arrangement. And this is exactly what his father told him. Those men understood, the people of this world, they are wise in their own generation. You understand my point? He understood how it worked. And of course, the old man was right. The old man was certainly right, so Mike did what he did. He's a bad guy himself, so he went after them, one after the other, and started beheading and shooting everybody, you understand? But what I'm telling the story is that was the same thing that happened here, Solomon's case. The moment they asked for that young girl's hand in marriage for Adonijah, he instantly understood that it was a conspiracy. Bathsheba did not know. Do you understand? Now, Bathsheba did not know. But in case you were wondering, that was what happened. Solomon didn't want the girl. It was a conspiracy to undermine his authority in Israel. That's all it was. And that was why he replied them ruthlessly. I mean, before I used to read it, that Solomon, oh boy, you're tough. But the truth is that the guy wasn't tough, he was wise. God, don't forget, God gave him wisdom. The kind of wisdom that before genetic studies, before they could do DNA analysis, he could decide who was the father, who was the mother of a child. He did not need to go through DNA analysis. He just looked. His mind just went, okay, do this. They did that. In 1 minute, he was done. He said, look, that's the mother, go. If you, after that, take the blood, do DNA analysis, Solomon was right. That is what is called divine wisdom. That same wisdom was what he used to decode the conspiracy that was, no, that was being engineered. And for that reason, he decided to discipline everybody. Now, we're not talking about that in details, but if you just start from verse 26. Then to Abiathar, the priest, the king said, go to Anathoth, to your own field, for you deserve to die. But I will not put you to death at this time because you carried the ark of the Lord before my father David. And because you were afflicted in everything with which my father was afflicted. So Solomon dismissed Abiathar from being priest to the Lord. Now notice this. I talked about the conspiracy. And then one of the conspirators was Abiathar the priest. The Bible says in verse 27, so Solomon dismissed Abiathar from being priest to the Lord in order to fulfill the word of the Lord which he has spoken concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. That's what I want from this. This man went into conspiracy with Joab, Adonijah. All right, Joab and Adonijah to undermine the authority of Solomon in Israel. And what he did was to bring to pass a prophecy that was given a few generations before. Don't forget, this prophecy was given to Eli, in which the man of God came and said to Eli, that did I not say that you and your household will stand before me forever, that is as priests? He said, God now said, far be it from me. And God went ahead and, the judgment was serious. You understand? In fact, let's just read it so that for those who don't, 1 Samuel, quickly, go to 1 Samuel. He pronounced a lot of judgment upon the house of Eli. 1 Samuel chapter 2,
The man came from verse 27. First Samuel chapter 2, verse 27. Then the man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, did I not indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house?" Please, because of time, I'm going to jump when I'm reading some of this so we can get to where we really want, all right? He said, "Did I not choose them," verse 28, "from all the tribes of Israel to be my priests?" 29 says, "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering?" He now said in verse 30, "Therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your father and your house and the house of your father shall walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me." Is that verse 31? "Behold, the days are coming when I will break your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. You will see the distress of my dwelling in spite of all the good that I do for Israel. And an old man will not be in your house forever." He said, "Yet I will not cut off every man of yours from my altar, so that your eyes will fail from weeping and your soul grieve, and all the increase of your house will die in the prime of life." In that, this will be a sign. Now, if you go down to verse 35, "But I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and in my soul. And I will build him an enduring house, and he will walk before my anointed always." He said, verse 36, "Everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver or a loaf of bread and say, 'Please assign me to one of the priest's offices so that I may eat a piece of bread.'" Now, what was he saying here? That poverty was going to be their portion. Do you understand my point? That's what he was saying. He was saying that he was going to remove Eli's household from being priests. Now, this was when Samuel was a little boy. Now, I want you to understand the number of years. Samuel grew up to be an old man. He was an old man by the time the sins of his sons were so bad that Israel demanded to have a king. Can you remember that? That's Samuel. Then Saul was appointed. Saul reigned for some years before he was rejected. A few years after Saul's reign, I am not very certain now, but I can't do my quick calculation, but from the time Saul was appointed to David took over the throne, all right? It would be maybe about 20 years thereabout, because he was rejected shortly after he was appointed, you understand? Then Saul reigned for up to 30-something years before he now died and David took over the throne. David lived to be an old man. He was 70-something when he died. Do you get my point? And then Solomon took over the throne. And this man, Abiathar the priest, was still priest, appearing as if the word of God had failed. So what I have described for you, I wasn't totally in it, but you can work it out. Nothing less than 100-something years had passed, maybe 200 years had passed, while the word that God gave to Eli was still out there, gave against the house of Eli. And Abiathar was definitely one of his descendants. And that was why the Bible was saying that this was to fulfill the word of God, which he spoke concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. I'm going to have an issue here. If Abiathar had not joined the conspiracy, do you know he would have died in peace as a priest? True or false? Would that have meant that the word of God failed? Of course, the answer is no, because the word of God, being the word of God, cannot fail. But that tells you something. That even though the word of God that planted a curse upon the family went out, it was not compulsory. Everybody in the family should partake of it. Each man, each woman will not decide whether this curse reigning in our family, I like it or I don't like it. And if I don't like it, I don't have to go down to the village to go and dig up where they buried the thing. Because in the case of Eli, nothing was buried. A word was issued forth. Do you get my point?
So we do not need to dig up anything. This is Africa. Because, you know, what I'm talking about is because Christians get carried away by all this crap, nonsense thing that somebody telling you that when she's pursuing you. There's a curse inside the family. I am not saying curses don't exist. I am saying, as you can see, Abiasad was going to escape it entirely until he went the way of his family, in quotes, and began to do the things that connect people with curses. This is my point. The Bible says that through one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. He said, but death continued to reign because men sinned. Did you hear what I said? Through one man, in Romans chapter 5, we learned that death entered into the world, in the earth. And that death continued to reign. But the Bible says it is because men sinned. And the Bible tells us clearly that the reign of death was interrupted by Moses. Why? Because Moses brought the form of righteousness that could interrupt the reign of death. What am I trying to explain? You know, you hear Christians say all the time that Adam sold out to the devil. That's where Boko Haram is bombing. If you are of the world of faith talk, you understand what I'm talking about. They say the devil is the god of this world and he's reigning. Why? Because Adam, once I hear it, I say, you've forgotten something. Adam started it, I agree. But it is only happening now because we currently still choose to disobey God the way Adam did. Because if we refuse to disobey, it doesn't matter what Adam did, we'll be extricated from the consequences of the judgment. Especially, I'm preaching to Christians, especially since Jesus died to wipe away any of those curses. That's what I'm trying to explain to us. How curses work. I don't have all the time to go into the details. In fact, my time is fast running out, all right? So I really need to pick up some speed. But I'm trying to emphasize to us that please, curses don't work outside your hands. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You have to deliberately connect with them. Something has been in my family six generations. Let me explain something to you. As Christians, you don't have a family for six generations. Your family is generally like one or two generations. That is you of Jesus Christ, of God. That's all. If you want to go through Abraham, it is you, Abraham, and God. Whichever way you want to connect it, you not pass like that. So your heavenly father did not leave a curse for you. You know what he left for you? A blessing. In fact, when Jesus was coming, he said, I will send the Holy Spirit. He didn't say I will send a curse. Do you understand my point? So the Holy Spirit has come. That's all he has for you. The one your natural ancestry has, that's what I'm just addressing. Because sometimes people go around trying to break curses. Listen to me. I want to say something to you today, all right, in the little time that I have. Let me just make some statements clear. One, there was a time God sent his... Now, you are going to say, Pastor Banks, we know this one, how far? But apparently, you know, I said something the other day. No matter the intellectual knowledge you have of spiritual things, until it affects your everyday decision-making process, you know nothing. Do you get my point? Uh-huh. No matter how much you have in your head, the truth is that you know nothing, except it is affecting how you make decisions every day. So let's get that one clear. So I'm going to go over some basic things. One time came, God sent his only begotten son, and his name is Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Some simple statements. One day he was betrayed by a man named Judas, and he was taken to the cross, and on the way, they beat him very well, as well depicted by the man Mel Gibson in his film, The Passion of the Christ. And then they nailed him to the cross, and all the blood in his body drained, and then he died. And the reason why he died, why he suffered, And why he had to die was because of your sin and my sin. Are you getting my point? By the power of that shed blood, he paid up for every, he paid up every debt that anybody ever incurred in the process of living a life. By the power of that shed blood, he wiped out every handwriting of ordinances written against anyone who will agree to believe. He went up to heaven with his blood like a lamb that was slain. He presented that blood before the judgment seat of God. Are you getting my point? And that blood washed away all your sins. And when that was done, death could no longer hold him down under his power. Therefore, he rose again from the dead. When Jesus rose again from the dead, it was a sign that you have been forgiven. When Jesus rose again from the dead, it was a sign that I was forgiven. When Jesus rose again from the dead, it was a sign that all the curses over your life were removed. If you believe all these things, please say amen.
Amen.
You know why I'm saying this? Because Christians still go around trying to break curses. If you ever try that, it means you don't believe the things I've said. Yes, now. I mean, you just said amen, that all the curses in your life were removed. A woman will tell you that the reason why I've not married is because I'm cursed. Well, maybe if you're a non-believer, I will agree. But if you're a Christian, it's a lie. And the reason why it appears like that is because you have given an excuse to Satan. So that spiritual problem is you have created it by ignorance and agreeing with what is wrong. And it's following you about. A man will say, the reason why, you know, the first business I did, it did not work. The second one I did not work. The third one I did not work. Every time I try to do something, it doesn't work. They say, why? Then, of course, you know, I don't like to say these things, but I have to say them because they are true. A lot of people who go around calling themselves pastors and prophets are just looking for food to eat. Let's get that one clear. Let's not deceive ourselves. This job, if you know how to do it well, it can be well-paying. If you know what I mean. When I say do it well now, I don't mean do it well. I mean do it well, the worldly well. There are pastors that say, you tell their landlord, I will pay you on Monday. Or they are owing somebody some money. I will pay you on Monday. Why? I can't pay you on Wednesday. Monday. Why? Because on Sunday, there's church service. And that day, he's going to come powerfully anointed. Not because of your problems, but because of his own problems. You are going to have to sow a dangerous seed to solve the problems in somebody's life. You think it's your life, but it's actually his life. And on Monday, he's going to settle all his debts. And anytime school is about to open again and the students are going to school, service will change. It sounds funny, but these things happen. There are those that open shops. Some people are selling clothes. Do you understand? In their own shops. Some are selling food. Some are selling electrical appliances. Some are even selling Bibles. But for some people, their shop is to sell prayers that don't work, but you don't know anyway. So some church, I'm sorry, oh, please, I don't mean any offense. I have nobody in mind. I'm not even thinking of TB Joshua. I'm just talking. I'm just talking my own. It's true now. So I have nobody in mind. I'm just talking. No, God is my witness. I wasn't thinking, if I was not even thinking of anyone, I was just talking. Even the name that came out of my mouth, I didn't think of him. I just said something. Do you understand my point? Yes, because I wanted to know the truth. Sometimes people do those things, for that reason they don't tell people the truth. That is why you start breaking curses with money. One of our sisters wrote me once, he asked me a question. He said, Banky, I said, yes. He said, a man came to our church and said that Jesus only died to free us from the curse of the law. Every other curse, we have to free ourselves from it. I said, what does he mean? I don't want to tell you the kind of church. You will fall down if I tell you. This is supposed to be a Bible-believing church. I mean, for my dear sister to be going to that church, it has to be a Bible-believing church. But they moved pastors around. That was a new pastor that just came. So I said, okay, how did he say he should break the curse now? He said, the man put the basket down and said, if it is a goat you want to use to break the curse today, you put the price of a goat inside there. He even said some very, very foolish things, which I should tell you so that in case somebody says it to you, you won't believe them. He said that maybe your father went to a shrine to go and dedicate, to promise that when they give birth to you, they will bring a cow. Now you've been born. The gods are chasing you around asking for their cow. I'm not joking. I am not joking what I'm telling you. So the man put basket down and said, put money inside there to pay for the cow that you did not give to the gods. I felt like saying that, are you their agent? Because if the gods are asking for their cow and you brought it to church now, are they now members of this congregation? Because if that's not the case, you will still have to pay. Do you understand my point? His logic is totally upside down because the ghost spirits are not coming to church. They're not supposed to come to church. And since you are not going to go and submit it in the shrine, so what is your power for collecting it on their behalf? You know, Christians still fall for these things every day, thinking that that is the cause of their problems. I don't have to go over it. Some of you here have done it a few years. It has not worked. Do you know why? That's why the message I'm preaching today. This is my message, how curses work. There are many things about it. The basic thing about this life is when people disobey God, they bring curses into their life. That's the basic thing. That is the basic thing. The first curse was because of disobedience. God said to Adam, simply, he said, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat of it, therefore, cursed is the ground because of you. It was disobedience to the word of God that brought the curse in the first place. Let's get that one clear. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Now, but the thing I want to emphasize today, I'm talking about how to change your life. The thing I want to emphasize today is that Abiathar had a curse running in his family indeed. He had it. But it did not alight upon him. And I have a number of reasons which I'm just thinking about why it couldn't alight upon. Number one, he was a priest. Now, I don't mean the special office of being a priest. But I mean that maybe because he was always offering sacrifices. Therefore, the curses, because that's divine principle, the curse was covered by the blood that was shed regularly. Do you understand my point? Maybe that's what happened to him. But most importantly, is the fact that until he joined the conspiracy against the will of God, as expressed by David in the life of Solomon, until he joined that conspiracy, that curse did not alight upon him. And I'm saying to you, the only reason a curse will move down a family and still be hanging upon a Christian, it is simply because the Christian does not depart from walking according to the order of that family. I want to say to everybody who is here, because an African mentality, this is our attachment to our culture. Be careful. Did you hear what I said? I will say it again. This attachment to culture, be careful. Ravi Zacharias said something, he was quoting somebody else. He said, culture is a cloak of religion. What it means is this. That anytime you see culture, it is founded upon the faith and the beliefs of the people. Yeah, that's what he said. What I'm saying so is that sometimes people keep on attaching themselves to these so-called curses, not because they are cursed in themselves, but simply because certain behavioral patterns always bring forth divine judgment. I say this all the time. You know, there's something that I preached recently, and of course, that day, I was about to leave my home when the Holy Spirit gave me inspiration, and I suddenly stopped. The scripture just came to my mind. He said, this is the will of God concerning you. Your sanctification. In fact, literally, This is the will of God concerning you. Sanctification. That's what Paul said. Suddenly it hit me. That the will of God is not, should we do a program in Sunshine Guest House and call it how to change your life or not? The will of God, that may be the plan of God for that day. But the will of God is sanctification. As an example, why do you want to do programs? Why? Sometimes we pastors, we do it. Man, we need money for next year's activity, so we do a program. So that we can get money. We can do it, you know, we pastors. Okay, but they do that, you do that once in a while? Don't worry, I know he does it. I know he does. If he does it, listen to me. Let me tell you what happened to him. He will get there, he won't be able to talk. Now, so you go freeze. They will have to come and call me to deliver him. And if I'm not around, don't worry. Tokpe will have to hold the husband that cannot talk till I come back. The Lord is good. Now, the will of God there is what is the motive? What are you trying to achieve? What is the motivation in your heart? Are you getting my point? How are you thinking? Now, I'm going to something now. So sometimes people tell me that, what is the will of God? I'm back to it now. I can't help it. It always goes that way. What is the will of God concerning marriage? I have only one word for that for today. The will of God concerning marriage for you is called sanctification. Don't believe your villagers. They are lying. That's the will of God. Do you understand my point? That's the will of God. The sanctification for today is don't believe them. They are lying. When they tell you, now let me tell you something. Be very, very careful. When they tell you, don't marry from the next village. Ask them why. Now, the why is actually not explained. Why is I not agree? Do you understand my point? There are different kinds of why. There's why. Please explain what happened. There is why in why. You know the way we do why. You know, there's one English I heard when I came to Enugu. Before I came to Enugu, it was why not. You understand my point? When I got to Enugu, it became what? Why. He said, do you think they have food there? Yes. Are you sure? Why? So I told the guy, I don't know. I'm asking you. He said, why? You know. It took me a few months to get the point that he was answering me. When he said why, what he actually meant was, that's how a normal Englishman would say, why not? That is like saying that, of course they do. I mean, you know. All right? So I'm telling you now, next time they tell you something like that, tell them why. That kind of why. And what you are saying is that you don't accept, you don't believe. You know why I'm saying that? I'll tell you my reason. Because what is going on inside your heart, I said at the beginning, it's affecting what comes to you. Yeah, it's affecting what comes to you. Listen, the assignment you have, that's what we're talking about this time around. In fact, the rest of the days is to talk about how to do it. The assignment you have is to change how your mind is working. That's how to change your life. That is how to change your life. There are so many things to say because there are so many confusions in the mind of Christians. The assignment you have, in fact, you know, that young lady I was telling you about, I went to preach somewhere. The mother was talking to me, you know, a few days ago. The young lady has said that she was concerned about her future. So what she decided to do was to check whether she has sowed enough seeds for her future. So when she was not so sure, she said, okay, subsequently, I will be sowing more seeds. And what does she mean by seed? Young teenage girl, anytime my mother gives me money, anytime I get money, I will cut a portion, go to church, drop my offering basket, and say it is a seed for my future. Now, you now say, what is wrong with that mindset? I'll tell you. That mindset negates grace. Do you hear what I said? That mindset drives grace away from her life. Now, this is why I'm talking about that. I said, change the way you reason. There are many Christians, till today, they go around life expecting God to do for them because they have done for Him. Did you hear what I said? Now, you say, what is wrong with that? I'm explaining to you. Your thinking pattern, the processes in your mind, they actually are forming a spiritual atmosphere around you deciding whether good will come to you or good will not come to you. And I know I took a pause when I was talking about the marriage matter, all right? I just want to explain a few things. You go around life thinking that God owes me because I have done for him. Actually, what you have done is that you have removed the power of grace to send you into breakthrough. What you have done is to bring yourself under the curse of Adam, which says, from the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. You don't realize it, but what has happened is that you have placed yourself in a place where progress is difficult. You will make some progress, and that's where the mistake is. You will not think it is working because you are competing yourself with people who are as cursed as Adam. Do you get my point? So you are putting more effort than them, you are getting more bread than them, all of you are operating the same principle. With the sweat of our brows, we eat bread. Why? Because you go around life with a mindset. You don't expect grace. You think you do, but you don't expect grace, you don't expect favor. You still think what comes to me is what I have put out there. Now, you don't have to say it. It's just inside. You say, what should I think? Let me quickly drop that one. Then I'll go on to what I was saying. You should think. This is how you should reason. As I'm going out in life, what have I done to get anything? Nothing. It's irrelevant. Jesus has done everything, so I will get everything. I'm going out in life. I'm tapping into the grace of Christ. Say, what did you do to deserve this? Jesus has done everything for me to deserve anything. Again, it's an attitude. You don't have to even, you have not even said anything really. You're just going around. But the thing is so powerful in your mind, I'm saying to you, it generates a spiritual atmosphere around you and it's pulling good into your life. Back to what I was saying. You don't say anything. You know, talk about the will of God. You know, I told you about the will of God. You say, what's the will of God on marriage? I said, don't listen to your villagers. So they said, don't marry from the next village. So, you are going around. You are not fighting anybody. You come to church. In fact, the brother that you are in the same technical team, you understand, or ushers, or whatever in church, the choir, is from the next village and you love him, he loves you like any other Christian. Are you getting my point? You don't, if he's sick and he's about to die and they say he needs a kidney, you give him your kidney because you're a good Christian and you have two. You know, so... You're not thinking anything negative towards him. But you have put something in your heart which says, my father, my mother, my uncles, the villagers said, don't marry from the next village. Now hear ye the word of the Lord. No matter how much you pray to know the will of God, you will never know it. You know why? David said something. He said, your words or commandments I have hidden in my heart. Why? So I will not sin against you. Bear that in mind. The commandments of the villagers are hidden in my heart. Therefore, I will disobey the Lord. This is where I turned it. It is what you hide inside your heart that decides who you obey. That's what I'm trying to explain. So when you hide a particular principle inside your heart, even though you don't say anything, you go around every day, you don't realize why. And let me say another thing to you. You will say that... this is how we would reason. That marriage is the only one that will be difficult. Unfortunately, it's not like that. You can hold that mindset in a place and it affects your business. Because these are spiritual principles. You hold this mindset that is said, so because as because one of the things you find out is that if you don't rightly discern the body of Christ, your life is in trouble. As a Christian, to fully understand, and then just drop this one again. This is the greatest of foolishness that has come up in recent times. Tell your neighbor, greatest of foolishness. He's not a member of our church. No. What is your problem? I didn't say that one now. Olayinka, why did you start it? I said, tell your neighbor, this is the greatest of the problems. That's what I was saying. Now, and I'm now telling you the gist of the problems. Before we're talking about, it's not from my village, right? No, it's from the next village. Now, they now say, he's not from our church. That one is the height of foolishness. There are things you hear. You say, are there Christians that said that? The annoying part is all this, even all this new generation Pentecostal churches. Even if it's Catholics and Anglicans now, we will understand that they've been in this madness for a very long time. So we are used to it. We want them to repent. Oh, do you understand my point? But these boys who started church 15 years ago, some of the bishops are my age. Do you understand my point? And you see one small girl telling you that I can't marry him, he's not in our church. I will beat your bishop. What's your problem? You know, the thing is so annoying. Small children. Because they go to Dominion City, Christ Embassy, Redeem. Kingdom World Ministries. Let me just mention that one before they say that I'm abusing other people. Or the Cornerstone Church. Let me just mention Pastor Murphy's there. So that it won't be as if I'm abusing somebody. If you are thinking like that, hear the word of the Lord. You came in today. The will of God is far from you. It is. Totally far. I'm talking about how to change your life. You know, so that's what I'm talking about. Remember where I began from? It's when people do things like this that they automatically connect with curses. Let me not be that where I began from. You know, I digress from that again, talking about the will of God matter. All right? To let you know that how people reason. They don't have to say anything. The thing is just deep inside their hearts. And that is what is affecting what is happening to them. Listen, as a Christian, you can't be cursed. What happens is that you imbibe the mindset of, you know, our tradition. You imbibe that mindset. And you don't realize it. Listen to me. Let me tell you something about God. Sometimes God begs. Let me say it in English so that those in Australia can understand. Sometimes God gets angry. The Bible didn't say he doesn't get angry. The Bible says so. What did he say about his anger? He's slow to anger. But if you are slow, eventually you get there. And I'm trying to tell you the kind of things that make God get there fast is when he says one thing and we directly disobey him. That one suddenly puts speed in his vehicle. Even though it was slow to anger before, suddenly it gets to anger fast. Go and read Numbers chapter, because of time, I can't read it now. But you know the story, Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 14. When they went into, to go and spy the promised land, and they came back. And they said simply, we can't enter. And you know what God said? He said, these people conspired against me. They didn't say anything more that we can't enter. To enter now by force. Is it compulsory to enter? If I don't want to enter, can't I go back to Egypt? Is it not my life? I do what I like with it. That's what you'll have thought. If it's not my, we expect that God will say that, okay, those who don't want to enter, please on this side. Those who want to enter, you can please come and start entering. Those who don't want to enter, return to Egypt. It's a free country. Come chop, no become walk. You know, God didn't say so. What did he do? He reacted in anger. And he said to Moses, these people have conspired against me. He said, for that reason, all of them will die in the wilderness. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That what I'm saying here is this. So, it is not, we don't have the luxury to decide which part of God we want to agree with and which part we don't want to agree with. That's what I'm going to explain by that. We don't have that luxury. If you're a Christian, you have to agree with him totally. That's just what I'm trying to explain. Because when we hold on to that which is not in agreement with divine order, I'll use that marriage as an example. I told the story before that one day. You know, when my younger brother got married, when I was on that priest that day, oh, when I got to the house, one of my aunties that came for the wedding said that, hey, Vanky, thank you very much. I said, what did I do? That I carried her matter to church to go and preach. I said, auntie, me carry your matter to God. You know what was annoying her? What she was saying was her matter. Because when I was going to marry, she said that thing that time. I was angry. I didn't listen to her. Then my brother too went my way. So we used to have that discussion. So I now went to church. I was now explaining the reason why people miss the will of God in marriage. I said, number one, she's not from my place. Then my auntie said, hey, you're using me to preach. Because she and I had that discussion before. We disagree with God in one area. Listen, the problems are not limited to that area. They are not. They are not limited to that area. They affect many other aspects of our lives. That's what I'm going to explain. How do people buy into curses? Let me not forget, that was what I started with. It is simply by holding on to thoughts and principles that disobey God. That's all. Listen, the summary of my message today is this. If indeed you are a believer, you cannot be cursed. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The truth is that Jesus Christ of Nazareth died, and by the power of his blood, he washed away every curse that was spoken or written against you. That is a matter of fact. What I'm just explaining, however, is that many people rebuy curses for themselves simply because they take divine principles, because God cannot be separated, you know, like you can look at him from different aspects, but you have to take him together. Like I say all the time, there are divine precepts, which are different from divine promises. Both of them are the word of God. You cannot inherit the promises while neglecting the precepts. And when people walk away from the precepts of God, they seem all the time to be walking under a curse. I start businesses, my business never do well. Listen to me, it is not because you are cursed. It is because you have thought processes, mindsets. Now, there are two sides. One, the way you think. Two, as a consequence, the things you do. Do you understand my point? And until you change that attitude, you are just playing into the hand of the curse that was released into the house of Eli. That's what I'm explaining. Abiathar would have escaped the curse of Eli if he would just have agreed to walk with David all his life. David said, Solomon is the king. Just say, yes, my Lord, and leave it there. He would never have known that he came from the family of Eli. Nothing was said to us about where he came from until we heard that he was removed from priesthood to fulfill a promise, a word that was released to Eli in Shiloh. I said, oh, you mean he's a relative? Do you understand my point? What did he know? That's one of the things people, when you are interpreting scriptures, you will say, you see a word is given. It doesn't come to pass. Go and prophesy against Nineveh. That was what God told Jonah. Yet, Jonah, the Ninevites said, this prophecy won't come to pass. Just watch it. They were not saying God cannot make it come to pass. Now, I'm putting many words together now. They said, let's see what we do. They gathered and repented and prayed and begged for mercy. And God suspended the judgment that was supposed to come down in 40 days. In the same manner, curses, and let me tell you something. There are different ways by which divine principles work. I said, Jesus wiped away your curses. Say amen. There's another thing that he did. The way by which he wiped it away is simple. He just removed you from the arena. Did you hear what I said? Let us assume now. They said that everybody that lives on earth, we have a particular problem. So Jesus wiped away that curse. But he said, well, why even bother? He takes you away from earth and puts you on Mars. You are the same person, but you don't live on earth anymore. And that curse said, if you live on earth. So even though they say the curse applies to you, they say, that's if I live on earth. I'm making an issue here. There's what is called living in the kingdom of God. So that even if Jesus didn't bother to wipe away the curse, once you leave this physical arena and plant yourself in the kingdom of God, automatically you are out. And the mistake Christians make, people make, is a lot of times not realizing that they leave that kingdom, they leave it behind, and come down to the earth. I'll give an example. I was giving an example before about business. A man is doing business, and my business is never doing well. I think I'm under a curse, and I'm saying it is not true. This is what will happen. This could be the scenario. When natural people go to the market to do anything, they are doing business or they start a business, what comes to their mind, first of all, is I need to make money. Are you getting my point? And listen, that thought process is cursed. Let me say it again. When I put money in front, I walk automatically under a curse. Many Christians who are sowing seed for more money, They are not blessed because money is still a god to them. I know some people are saying, what are you talking about? Let me quickly drop it for you because my time is running, like I said, very fast. Why do Christians do business? This is what Christians put in front. Two things. Listen, if you have been having problems for a long time, just hear, this is the word of God for you for this evening. There are two things Christians put in front when they want to do business. One, I must bless somebody. Two, I must walk in righteousness. I know the next thing they say about money, all other monies shall be added unto me. That is their attitude. That is, if I want to do a business, I can't see how I will positively impact somebody. I walk away, look for something else. Are you getting my point? That is, when I start doing business, what is more important to me is that I always do right. And I maintain a good name. Sometimes you will be tested and you will lose money. But listen to me, that is when you are about to start breaking through. As long as you walk according to the way of the world, which says, oh boy, man, this one is a business. So, you are perpetually under a curse. If you like, go to the village, dig the tree, dig the roots down, and pour all kinds of blood inside it. Do deliverance. You know deliverance in our business. They don't charge money, just money for breaking or fast. Do all the deliverance you want to do. As long as you are operating according to the same principles as the guy next door, you are under the same curse. I said how curses work. My emphasis today is the man, the woman that does not do the works of Abiathar or the works of the sons of Eli does not participate in the judgment of Eli even if they are from the same family. Let me say it one more time. You might be from the family of Eli. Just watch the things that the sons of Eli did. Don't go near those things. And you are automatically delivered from the curse that was released to Eli. What am I going to explain to the children of God today? Listen, we're talking about how to change your life. First of all, I want you to understand that there's no curse upon your life unless you, by your own works, and my emphasis for today, because I'm closing now, my emphasis for today is that by your thought processes, you have agreed with the people around you. That is why things are happening to you the way it happens to them. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. And I'm challenging the children of God. I'm challenging the people of God today. I am saying to you, come out from amongst them and be what? Separate. Come out from amongst them and be separate in your attitude towards life. Come out from among them and be separate in the way you reason about everything around you. That is what makes a Christian different. One of our brothers the other day, he's into politics. You know, we were in our house praying with him. And if I still pray for him again today, and one thing I kept on saying while we'll be praying, I said, dear Lord, I said it that day, I said, we're just talking simply. I said, God, you know this is not about money. He's running for elective office, do you understand? And we are praying, I said it in the hearing of everybody, and I said it in private. I said, God, you know this is not about money. He's a young man who, we have interacted for a very long time. He knows the word of God in that area. That we are not going into politics for money. We will not sign any agreement with anybody. I hope you are getting my point. That we are. This politics is not about money. We are not looking for a job. We are saying that we are the light of the world. And this is a part of the areas of life in which we are to shine the light of Christ. And we are saying that men can go to Babalawos. They can go to big men. We will go to God and He will elevate us to any high place in this life. That's the Christian's mindset. And this, I said it that day, and I'm saying it again in your hearing. Anybody who decides to stand against the progress of such a person, he just dies for nothing. We won't carry your name to church or shrine. We'll get time to pray by you. But if a man comes and says, because the Bible says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Is that he that is born of God is above all. He that comes from above is above all. It is not by going, you see, that's a mistake. It's not by going to church and raising your hands. No, it's about facing life with a different mindset, facing life with a different perspective. It is not that me too, I have to build a house, one in Abuja, one in Enugu. Once you start talking like that, that is why God has not, no, God finds it easier to put a Christian in political office. You know why? Sorry, a non-believer. Do you know why? He said when he chops money, he has not disgraced anybody. No, in case you are wondering why Christians don't make it a law, that's why. God says that when they misbehave, they haven't disgraced anybody. So why don't you put your people? He said, these people, these are my children, they never reach that level. They never reach that level. If I try it, disgrace all over heaven. So let's just leave this matter like this. Promote him to a small level and leave him there. He said, go. His pastor is lying with my word. How him, Unko? And I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. You can't be hearing a wrong thing and do a right thing. What you do in life is dependent upon what you continue to hear. You can never be hearing a wrong thing and think your life will turn out right. It is not possible. Let me say that one and I close with it. You can never, listen to these words. You can never in life continue to hear what is wrong. Sit under what is wrong and think your life will turn out right. It is not possible. One of our sisters coming the other day was telling me, complaining about some of our brethren. I said, by the time she talked it, I said, wait now, which church did you say they go to? I said, what? Then you are still asking me where the problems are from. Two Christians are going to church. Husband and wife always quarreling. And every Sunday they come to church and their pastor has it in their mind, in his mind, that this church is more important than a marriage. He says it softly, you know, the different ways. And he said, in fact, if your wife, yeah, the two of you don't agree, you can just go your separate ways. He doesn't have to say it straight to. And you hear that every day. After 5 years, no matter how much you love your wife, people will start quarreling. That's a matter of fact. You can never. Once I went to the church, one man was talking. I just said, my God. Also, something like a bishop. This country, who said it's a nation? Where was the conference with which we agreed to come together? I just told myself, nobody in this church is praying for this country and God is here. Because their pastor says over them regularly that this country is not a nation. It's not a country. That it's important that everybody breaks and goes separate ways. You can never be hearing a wrong thing and do the right thing. It's not possible. What you do is a reflection of what you are constantly hearing. Let me say that one so I can close with it. Listen, if you want your life to turn around for the better, change what you are hearing. As a result of the change in what you are hearing, what you are thinking will become different. As a result of what you are thinking, what you are doing becomes different. Once you rearrange all of these things, automatically you are detached from the curse that was given to the house of Eli. Are you getting my point? Because as a matter of fact, as a Christian, you are not cursed at all. That is not the reason why you are having problems. That's all I want to say today. That is not the reason why you are having problems. I am not going to say how to change your life. I will start breaking the curses in your life. I am going to call you to repentance. I'm going to call you to a change of your thinking pattern. I am going to call you to a change of your value system. Let me say that again. I am going to call you to a change of your value system. Until those things are changed, your life is not changing anywhere. Your deliverance is not out there. It's not in my hands. There is no special anointing for you this weekend, though. Don't bring your bottle of oil near here. Are you getting my point? I'm serious. Look, listen. Anointing all the scripture, I hope you understand that. The Bible says, is anyone sick amongst you? Let him call upon the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, all right? Anointing him with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick. So anointing with oil is scriptural. He said, what about mantle? Handkerchiefs, aprons were taken from the body of Paul, and it was placed upon the sick, and they were healed, and demons were flying out of those who were possessed. That's what the Bible calls special manifestations. They do happen. Are you getting my point? But I'll give you one word as I close. They said concerning Jesus. Jesus spoke. He said, go and tell John the Baptist what you both see and hear. He said, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised.
He said, but the poor, what happened to them? They heard the gospel. They had the gospel preached to them. Jesus never laid hands on the sick, on the poor, to change his destiny. Jesus did not lay hands on the sick, on the poor, to change their destiny. He saw them blind. He laid hands. He put spit. He put clay. He did everything. They were healed. They were deaf and dumb. He spoke to them. They began to see. When they were poor, he sat them down and said, let me teach you the new way of thinking. Let me tell you about the kingdom. It will take time as I change your mind for you to become rich. So he said to them, go and tell John, this is what I do for those who need their lives turned around. I preach to them. I teach them. And I'm saying to you this weekend, I will teach. Say amen.
Amen.
You will learn. Say amen.
Amen.
Your heart will be changed. Say amen.
Amen.
And your life will be changed.
Amen.
If you believe that, rise to your feet. Let us pray. Let's just give the Lord thanks. I want us to close now. Just say, Lord, I thank you. Now, I want to just ask you simple. Just ask the Lord a simple. Say, Lord, this weekend, there is a word I need to hear, which will change my life. Send it to me. It's a very important prayer. You have 30 seconds to pray that prayer. Say, Lord, there is a word I need to hear. There is a word I need to hear. There is a word I need to hear. It will change my life. It will turn me around. Send that word to me this weekend. There is a word I need to hear. Lord, I'm asking you to send it to me this weekend. Give me the spirit, the boldness, the ability to obey that word. First of all, to understand it. Let it enter into my heart. Give me understanding in that word. Then give me the boldness to obey it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I give you thanks. Because you have gathered us today to feed us for this whole weekend with your truth. Lord, in answer to the prayers we prayed now, we know your truth will come again in a greater measure in subsequent meetings in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For today, Lord, we say thank you. Lord, we say thank you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Oh, sorry. Those of us who go to Kingdom World, we'll share one, then we'll share the general one. Those of you who don't know it, just listen to us, all right? Then you learn it later. Maybe tomorrow we'll share it. Okay, our magazine is inside there. Our tracks and magazines are free. Pick them as you are going out. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are free. All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. That last line is easy. I'm sure everybody can do that. Let's do it one more time. We normally personalize it. All right? So let's do it one more time. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Give a blessing to your neighbor. Say, this is your season of fruitfulness.
This is your season of fruitfulness.
Give another neighbor.
This is your season of fruitfulness.
All right, share up, brethren.
The Lord bless.
As you go, peace goes with you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, God bless you.